Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you make yourself known to us and the way that you help us to understand what we're to be as your people. And we ask now, as we come to your word, that by your Spirit who inspired them all those years ago, you would help us to understand these words and help us to see them more put into practice amongst us here. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, sports fans often remember particular games. So the FA Cup final when that tiny Wimbledon beat the mighty Liverpool. Or the Rugby League Challenge Cup final when lowly Sheffield beat champions Wigan. Or the Cricket World Cup when the great Australians, against all the odds, were defeated by international minnows Sri Lanka. Well, when something like that happens, it's usually because the favourites are full of individual superstars, but the underdogs have fewer outstanding individuals, but somehow or other they find a way of working together as a team. And in the end, that makes them more effective. Well, like football or rugby or cricket, netball or hockey, Christianity and its outworkings through local churches is not essentially an individual pursuit. It is rather a team effort. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been considering what it means to be a mission-minded church. And we've seen that mission is first and foremost God's idea. We are sent by Jesus into the world, just as the Father sent Jesus. And mission has a hidden dimension, that is prayer. And its power is in the truth of the cross of Jesus, which may look ridiculous to some, but is in fact God's way of rescuing people. Well, as we look at Ephesians 4 this morning, we're reminded that mission is a corporate activity. Being sent by Jesus to serve and to share the good news is a team effort. Well, do turn, excuse me, if you haven't done already, to Ephesians chapter 4. It's page 1176 in the Black Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, 1176. Now, the writer, the Apostle Paul, is in prison. And he's writing to those believers in a region of what we would today call Turkey. And he's helping them to grasp the overarching purpose or mission of God. That is, that God is working to bring all things together under the leadership of Jesus. Now, as we hear this teaching, we discover more of the key part that the team, which is the local church, is to play in that plan of God. And the first thing to notice is that mission is done together because we are all one. Now, of course, we live in a world where, very sadly, there is much disunity. The news this last week has reminded us about the tensions between Palestinians and Israelis, recent conflicts between Tamils and Sinhalese in Sri Lanka, and, of course, the effective civil war that's going on in Syria. Well, according to our reading, there is an unlikely group of people who have been given a unity, a oneness, that they need to keep. That is, Christians who are members of local church communities. Now, Paul encourages the Ephesian believers to be, verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Through the cross of Jesus, Christians have been brought together despite their differences in background and race and age. People who once were separated and divided have been united because all have received the benefits of the gospel of Jesus and have been reconnected to God and therefore to one another. Now, this unity is rooted in the unity, the oneness of God himself. I wonder if you noticed the repetition of the word one in the early part of that reading. Verse 3, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, as believers in the family of the local church, we have been brought together. We have been made one. And that is as it should be, because we belong to the one God. Now, God is a relationship of equal but different persons. As they're described in the reading, there's one Father, one Lord, Jesus, and one Holy Spirit. God is one, and yet he is three persons in his oneness. And our lives as church members reflect that reality. Now, the actual truth of our oneness is a given, says Paul. We don't have to make ourselves to be at one. God has done that through Jesus. Instead, we are to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Verse 3. See, the Holy Spirit has united us because we all belong to Jesus through his death on the cross for us all. We need to work then at keeping what we have been given. Now, of course, being living in a broken world, this unity is often under threat. And so we're reminded how we should behave in order to maintain that unity. Verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So when we're irritated by another, when someone says something that we could easily take offence at, when others seem to prefer things that affect church life that are not high on my personal preferences, well, we can maintain the unity the Holy Spirit has given to us and aim for humility, gentleness, patience. In other words, aim at other person-centred love in our relationships one with another. This oneness then has been given, and we need to maintain it. And that is a profound witness to the truth of Jesus in a very divided world. Submission is something that is done together because we are one. And this is so important because of what it leads to, which is our second point this morning. That mission is done together because we all have a part to play. Now, when I was a boy, I used to enjoy trying to mend things, radios, music players, that sort of thing. And that tendency still raises its head now and again, for good and ill. A few months back, we started to have trouble with our dishwasher at the vicarage. It was out of guarantee, so I decided it was time to take the back off. Well, as you might imagine, there are lots of parts in a dishwasher. How was I going to tell why it wasn't working properly? Well, I did a bit of research and a few electrical tests, and I decided that the electronic control unit seemed dodgy. But after finding a cheap second-hand one on eBay, that didn't sort the problem out. Typical of an amateur botcher who doesn't really know what he's doing. Well, more tests revealed that the heating element had failed. So after another eBay purchase and a simple fixing, all seemed fine until water started to appear all over the kitchen floor. Now, the problem was eventually resolved by getting some new small clips that fitted on an internal hose pipe. Now, thankfully, the machine seems to have worked pretty well since. All the parts are in the right place and are doing what they're meant to do. The result is generally clean dishes and pans without having to resort to the old scouring pad or the fairy liquid bottle. Well, a machine like a dishwasher reminds us of the importance of every part in something bigger. Small and large, complicated or simple, obvious or seemingly but not in practice insignificant, every part is needed. Each part needs to do its job if the machine is to work properly. Well, the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians speaks of the infinitely more complicated biological machine, the human body, and applies it working properly to the local church. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. You see, it's only as each part works properly that a human body can function as it was designed to. Well, so it is in the community of the church. Now, Christ is, of course, the indispensable head of this body. Indeed, the church is called there in verse 12, the body of Christ. And it is from him that health comes. It is only through him that a church grows in life and depth and as new people are drawn in. Church members then are united to Jesus through relying on his death and resurrection, as we remember as we share bread and wine in communion this morning. We each become part of this body of Christ with an important role to play. For the fully healthy operation of a human body, every part has to work well. Well, so it is in the church family. Now, as we think of the challenges that we face as a church, it's so easy to think that it's others who are important and it's them that should be doing the work. The staff team, the readers, the church wardens, the home group leaders, the administrator, the youth worker, or even that the vicar should be expected to do all the work. Now, of course, all these people have a part to play. But the truth is that everyone is important. Everyone has a part to play if the church is to function properly, if we're to engage with the mission that God calls us to. If the gospel is to go forward, everyone is important. Living out the gospel in the workplace and amongst our neighbours and our wider families. Commending the good news by befriending people in the leisure groups that we're a part of. And as the church community meets, church members have a part to play if it's to work healthily. Making coffee, running the creche, welcoming people, leading prayers, involvement with young people, with music. And all these things have implications for our mission as well as our praise of God and our growing together. And as we are church, the rest of the week, there are things that we're doing. Praying for one another. Praying for those who are not yet part of church. Practically serving. Dealing with our buildings. Befriending people. Inviting people to events like Girls' Night Out or special services. Calling around or phoning an ill person. Offering hospitality. There are many ways to play our part in the team effort of the local church. Now, as we think of each of us playing our part, it's encouraging and vital that we hear what else Paul has to say here in this reading. Let's look at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see, each church member has a part to play in serving, and each of us, in the undeserved love of Jesus for his people, his grace, are given abilities in order to fulfill our part. As church members, we are a people who are equipped with gifts from Jesus. Gifts which help us serve God and one another and help the church to develop. Now, in other parts of the New Testament, we find several sorts of gifts are described. Some of them are very much upfront, obvious gifts. But there are many that are unspectacular, but very important nonetheless. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter 4, we hear of gifts of helping, practical service of one another, encouragement, gifts of administration and organisation, gifts of hospitality. Now, some of what we are to do and to be as believers is the same for all of us. But we're also to recognise that each of us has gifts which especially equip us to see our fellow believers encouraged and so help the church community to develop and to grow healthily. Here in Ephesians 4, Paul speaks of a group of gifts which might be called truth gifts or word gifts because they're all about communicating God's truth through his word. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, many believe that Paul is referring to the foundation-laying apostles and prophets like him in the first gifts on the list. But the next ones, evangelists, pastors and teachers, are those that we would expect to find in local churches throughout the world all the time. Now, pastors and teachers probably refer to one sort of gift, the pastor-teacher, who explains God's word, who leads through teaching the truth, through public preaching in small groups and personal work one-to-one with the Bible. But he also speaks of evangelists. Now, as we think of being a mission-minded church, this gift is worth dwelling on for a moment. The New Testament doesn't define the term specifically, but the name evangelist, from the Greek word for gospel, evangel, the gospel, shows that it is about the gospel and sharing the gospel. So people with this sort of gift are usually those who have a keen desire to share the good news with others. They're those who connect well with people outside of the church community. And they'll be clear about the content of the gospel. Evangelists build up the body of the church by helping to draw others in. Now, it's helpful to recognise that by speaking of some having these gifts, it's clear that not all are pastor teachers. Not all are evangelists. So putting it simply, we won't expect everyone to be good at public preaching, nor will we all be naturals when it comes to sharing our faith. Now, that's not an excuse not to do our best in sharing our faith when the opportunity arises. And it's good to think about how we can do that better, by doing our homework, thinking about how we might explain the good news when the chance crosses our path. But most of us will have strengths in ways that play a different part, all in the team effort that is involved in seeing the good news go out. Now, I believe that we have folks in our church who do have gifts to teach the Bible and to be evangelists, and we need to encourage them. And it's also worth thinking about how we can look out for those with such gifts to teach the truth from God's word who perhaps haven't yet been identified. Those who will have gifts to speak up front, to teach the Bible in groups with different people, children, women, men, and so on. And we need to identify those amongst us who have gifts of being an evangelist and pray that God would raise up more who have these gifts. You see, such truth or word gifts are so vital in the church's life because it is through them that we are all strengthened to play the part that God has given to us. Verse 12. These gifts are given, says Paul, to equip the saints, that is Christian people, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Each person has a ministry, and we are encouraged in that ministry, especially by those with these sorts of gifts. So when those gifts are functioning properly, God's people are equipped to serve and to grow. Mission is done together because we all have a part to play. Well, we've been reminded this morning that in the task to which we are called, being sent by Jesus like he was sent by God the Father to share the good news, it's not something that isolated individuals can fulfill. Rather, it is a team effort. Mission is something that is done together because we are all one. And mission is done together because we all have a part to play. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow and it builds itself up in love. Let's pray.